Shopping for a new mattress? The Helix lineup offers 20 unique mattresses, including their award-winning Luxe and Ultra Premium Elite collections, Helix Plus, a mattress designed for big and tall sleepers, and the Helix Kids mattress, designed for growing bodies and endorsed by child sleep experts. So how will you know which Helix mattress works best for you and your body? Take the Helix Sleep Quiz and find your perfect mattress in under 2 minutes. Helix knows there's no better way to test out a new mattress than by sleeping on it in your own home. That's why they offer a 100-night trial and a 10 to 15-year warranty to try out your new Helix mattress. Not only will the mattress be the best you have slept on, but the setup is fast and easy. Helix mattresses are delivered in a box and straight to your door for free. Helix is offering 20% off all mattress orders and 2 free pillows for our listeners. Go to helixsleep.com/drink. That's helixsleep.com/drink. This is their best offer yet, and it won't last long. With Helix, better sleep starts now. If you're anything like me, you are always trying to learn something new, and that is why I love Rosetta Stone so much. Rosetta Stone is the most trusted language learning program. It's available on desktop or can be used as an app on your phone or tablet. Rosetta Stone immerses you in many ways with its intuitive process. You can pick up any language naturally, first with words, then phrases, then sentences. Blaise has been learning German with Rosetta Stone and is so cool to watch because as someone who speaks German, I get to see how he learns the different pronunciations, how excited he gets when he gets something right, and the phrases that he's learning we're going to be able to use next time we visit Germany and Austria. Don't put off learning that language. There's no better time than right now to get started. For a very limited time, and that's why We Drink listeners can get Rosetta Stone's lifetime membership for 50% off. Visit rosettastone.com/drink. That's rosettastone.com/drink. Well, I guess we're stuck doing these forever now. Surprise, you're stuck with our bonus episodes. Slash, I guess they're not bonus anymore. They're just like the norm for now.
They're just
holiday
like
bonus.
2.0 or 1.5 or it's like
like 1.2. Let's go. Let's go there.
How Lion King came out with their like 1.5, like
the prequel
to the sequel or whatever it was. That's kind of what I want this to be, although it will never be that creatively fancy. But anyway, welcome to a whole other listeners episode made by yours truly and also my cohort right over there,
and mostly Eva,
and really mostly,
but
really
are fully Eva.
Welcome to our voices reciting everything that Eva has done for many hours.
We're like Eva's little puppets.
Happily. Oh my god, you call Kermit.
He's been in me all along. Anyway, basically what we're doing is we get so many listener stories that we decided to do another listener episode throughout the month, like mid-month, to kind of get more of your stories out there. So I guess we have kind of I think Eva called it a comfy, cozy, somewhat Thanksgiving-y, loosely themed
turkey adjacent, I like to call it.
Turkey adjacent. Okay.
Yeah.
So I guess let's just get, it's probably getting cold where you are. So,
okay, Christine, it's been, oh, I thought you were talking.
I meant not you. I know it's not cold where you are. You're in Los Angeles.
I heard it after I started talking. But Christine, it's actually been freezing here all week.
Okay, that's really weird because it's 75 degrees literally outside right now. It's beautiful.
Like, it has been
fully 75 out here.
It's been like windy and cold, and like Allison and I, we've been trying to do isolated dates where we go to like parks like a half an hour before they close because no one's there. So you get like the whole park to yourself. And
in the freezing cold.
But it was freezing and we were like, okay, fuck this. We're not doing that. Like, like not a good try on like a date, but it's been so cold. Like I had to bring 2 sweatshirts for myself.
Oh my.
I've been having a blast.
It was so weird because last week we had like a full-on freeze, like a frost, and all my plants the 2 plants that I left outside died by accident. But now it's 75 degrees and like gorgeous, and so I don't know. I think this might be the one week I can like hold above you.
I'm having such a good time. Like we all know I love my iced London fogs at Starbucks, and I got a hot London fog because it was too cold to drink an Iceland fog. Anyway, I'm having a blast and I'm just going to be so mad when this little phase is over and LA gets back to itself. So anyway,
I'm fully enjoying this before we freeze to death again, but I bought my vitamin D lamp. So we're good to go.
What is that? A vitamin D lamp?
Yeah. The sun lamps, like happy lamps for seasonal affective disorder.
RJ has one of those because he wakes up at like 4 a.m. for fun. And so it's his own way of making the sun rise with him because he wakes up before the sun.
Oh,
so gross.
Well, I've seen those ones that like are on timers. This one, you're just supposed to sit in front of it for 20 minutes every morning.
Just stare at it and reflect on yourself.
You'll see it on my Instagram. Don't worry.
I can't wait. Also, for those of you who are slightly late to the game, but maybe you follow us on Instagram, Christine has a little kitty cat. And now kitty cat.
Well, I announced it only to patrons so far like a little surprise, sneak peek. But it'll be out by the time that, this episode comes out. It'll be public knowledge.
So if you are watching this on YouTube and you see what looks like Juniper, but it's Shadow walk by, it's actually a totally different cat, not Peter Pan broken in half. Okay.
Yeah. You're not losing it. I'm losing it because I keep adding cats to my house. Uh-huh. So this week or this episode, Eva suggested I go first, which is the first time that's ever happened. So I'm very excited.
Shocked. I'm shocked.
It's a lot of pressure to follow in M's fishy, floppy footsteps.
I almost wore my fish flops today, but
I know I felt it in my bones.
And then I thought, no, too much of that. But
too much. I'm glad you finally learned.
They'll be back. The second I think that it's over, it comes right back to life again. So
that's what I've learned over the years. So this first story I have is called A Spooky Starchy Potato Story.
Oh, hell yeah.
Which sounds right down our alley.
Uh-huh.
Now, this is from, Aoife. It's an Irish name. It's like the Irish version of Eva.
Ooh.
Eva said. Beautiful name. Who uses she, her pronouns, says she/her/ Irish folklore gal. So you could call her by any of those.
Talk about names. A pronoun. Oh, my gosh.
I know. She even gave me a pronunciation guide, but I think I might still mess it up because for some reason... These Irish,
you know what? The Irish are bananas when it comes to their spelling.
You're just like throwing stuff in there.
I'm pretty sure they know that they're bananas when it comes to their spelling, though. Like even they know
so.
You can't.
It has a pronunciation guide, like for a reason, right?
Yeah.
So it says, "How ya? Tis Aoife here from Kievan." Okay, that's it. I'm not going to say it again.
This is why Eva gave this to you, because
maybe.
We all know that I was going to be such crap at this. Okay.
In the last Samhain or Halloween listener tales, you mentioned that you hadn't heard a starchy paranormal story. Did we?
I think we did say something like that. And
yeah, you said if it's about a potato. Oh my god!
Wait a minute. Oh my gosh, Eva literally went to the search bar and typed in potatoes. And
also, you all literally listened to us and went, "Oh yeah, I have one of those," which is incredible. That's like the most incredible part. Oh my god. Okay, you mentioned you hadn't heard a starchy paranormal story, but on brand, me being from Ireland and all, I have one.
Excellent.
I am very happy that I finally have a short but somewhat relevant story to contribute. This is a story that was passed down to me. Years ago in old Ireland, before we had the luxury of electricity, us Kievan people lived in what resembled stone-built cattle sheds. Down the road, a hen's race from where I live today, lived in... I know.
This wow, is like, what is that level of, what's that metric system? A hen's race. Oh,
a hen's race is equivalent to about 4.5 meters, which is equivalent to a stone's throw. No, I'm just bullshitting. I don't think it's an actual literal measurement. I think it's a stone's throw.
I think is like a stone's throw. You're right. Okay. You said it with such confidence. I was just like,
that's the thing. I say things with confidence and people believe me. And I'm like 99% of the time.
You need to work on your I'm kidding eyes because you are too serious.
I like it when you believe me. It's more fun. Down the road, a hen's race for where I live today, lived an old woman with her sons. Again, on brand for Ireland, she died sitting at the table peeling potatoes, or spuds, as us Irish call them.
Oh my gosh.
She was waked and buried within a week. As her sons came walking back to the house after the funeral, they opened the door to find their beloved mother's ghost sitting at the table, still peeling away into the afterlife.
Oh my god, that's eternity for you now. Just peeling.
Heartwarming, you might think, but her sons didn't think so, as they never entered the house again and went as far as to board up the windows.
Mm.
To this day, if you drive by, the windows are boarded up and the house and attached yard/farm are like they were the day she died. So yeah, there she goes. Sorry. So yeah, there you go. And I guess there she goes with her potatoes. I'm sure she died doing what she loved. Thanks in advance if you read this. Now I want some cheesy potato gratin. Be careful preparing those fluffy god apples.
Wow. God apples.
That was beautiful. Thank you.
Oh my gosh. So Christine, how are you peeling about that?
How are you peeling? I'm scared now because I say that so often. Like, what if I'm stuck peeling in the afterlife?
What if you're manifesting people who are actually peeling things, like potatoes?
Oh, no. Then they have sharp objects around me at all times. I don't love that idea.
Wow. My question is, if for the rest of your life you're peeling potatoes, are you at least taking little breaks to eat them? Or do you only have to look at...
I guess, but they're raw, right? So, like,
what if you can't even... What if you're Creed Bratton? You won't know the difference.
This is true. That's true. That is true.
Okay.
Wow.
Well, thank you so much for that story. Here is round two. I never do the even one, so I'm also excited.
Ooh.
This is called A Fence Jumper and a Mashed Potato. Oh, my God.
There's
more than one of these. Okay. This is from Devin, who uses she, her pronouns. Thank you for normalizing pronouns. And Devin says, hi, Eva, Christine M., and associated animals, petrified fruit. I always love when people get creative with their et al.
Like, yeah, yeah,
it's too. Always fun. I'm a lifelong true crime paranormal fan and also team wine. So when I discovered your podcast back in 2017, I was immediately hooked. I'm from Vancouver Island and I was at your Vancouver live show. Oh my gosh, you saw me on stage in a onesie.
Yeah, great. We all saw you.
I saw me. I had to look in the mirror and think, oh, this is a day for me.
Too far.
And I hope you all get a chance to come back when everything blows over. I don't have many crime stories because I come from a pretty boring and safe part of the island. Bowen M mentioned a potato theme. Oh, I guess I'm responsible for this.
Yeah, well, for once you can take the burden of being responsible. That's nice.
Didn't you pick a cheese episode?
I did. I think I said I want a cheese theme and poor Eva was like, okay. And it was like a long time ago. So she was like, I still don't know if they're being serious or not.
And then I said, Eva, you're clearly too good at your job. Let's really challenge
yeah.
you.
Yeah.
When M mentioned a potato theme, the first thought I had was finally I have something to contribute. It's like you've been waiting and waiting in like the grocery aisle for us to mention your ghost story. So to give a bit of a better picture as to what happened, I live in a duplex in a pretty tightly built suburb of other duplexes. Everyone's yards were small and all three sides of my backyard were touching other backyards that were also often surrounded on all sides. The street was on a hill, so each duplex was built slightly lower as you went down the street. This meant sometimes if you hopped a 6-foot fence, it might actually be a 10-foot drop on the other side, as was the case with my yard. I think I was about 11 or 12 when this happened. I was sitting at an outdoor table with my mom and a friend of hers when we heard shouting coming from the neighbor's yard. Right when we all looked, this guy suddenly full-on hops over the fence, like feet right up into his chest and completely clears the top, only to drop 10 feet straight down onto the concrete.
Oh, no.
Thankfully, he totally ignored the three of us who were only a few feet away and tried to run back to the yard. But a combination of him being very obviously hurt or winded from the fall and my puppy named Joey, who was a very good and scary guard dog, slowed him down and he got stuck because the only fence he could try for would have been another 10-foot climb.
Oh, God.
Before any of us could really process what happened, our backyard was suddenly swarmed with RCMP. Military police?
Royal Canadian Mounted Police.
Oh, the Mounties.
Yes.
Oh my gosh. Okay. I've never actually.
Military police.
I don't know. It's America over here. Okay. who all had their guns out. Okay. They tackled the guy and cuffed him without incident, thankfully. Turns out he and his girlfriend had been leading the RCMP on a high-speed chase through town on his motorcycle. He crashed his bike pretty badly. The handlebars were basically pushed into the gas tank from what I saw, and he ditched his girlfriend, although I don't know if she was hurt or not, and took off running between the houses to try and lose the RCMP. I later heard from my dad that his helmet, which had been found in my neighbor's yard, had been lined with cocaine. And as for the potato part, because that's what where I'm looking.
I guess that's kind of starchy. Powder.
We had an old baked potato in the fridge that we had given to Joey to eat a few days before, but he had just taken it to the backyard and played with it instead. He never ended up eating it, and we hadn't gotten around to picking it up yet. So when the guy was tackled to the ground, they pushed his face right into this weak old half-rotten baked potato.
Stop it.
The most vivid memory I have of this entire incident is this guy's now mashed potato-covered face as they took him away. Thanks for reading, even if this isn't going to be read out loud. Well, LOL. Your podcast makes my commutes and chores much more enjoyable, and I look forward to everything. P.S. I've attached a link to a picture of my sweet baby boy. My
gosh. Okay. Have you seen it? Eva just texted it to us.
No. Let me see.
Can I? I think I can probably show it. Okay. Look at Joey.
Oh, this so sweet.
In the Geo's Trio group. Baby. Wow, what a sweet babe. I love that he just played with the potato instead of eating it.
I know.
Meanwhile, my dog like eats rocks and Snickers bars, and like if you gave him anything, it would be swallowed in like 4 seconds.
If you lined up a bunch of food items in front of Gio, and one of like there's like fried chicken, and there's like peanut butter, and there's like Cheez-Its, and then there's like a little vial with a skull and crossbones on it, and it says toxic poison. He would gulp that one down in a heartbeat.
And he would just look me right in the eye. That's exactly right. He would, that's him. That's my boy. Oh my God. Monster.
Anyway, thank you, Devin, for that story.
Devin, what a story. I cannot believe the feeling of like, did they just say a potato story? That must be just the wildest feeling.
Yeah. And like for you to have one, like you said earlier, to have one just immediately like ready to go of like, oh yeah, I guess this is my moment. And
yeah, this is your moment that you weren't waiting for or expecting, but we just thrust it upon you. Also, I saw a text come in that said this is the photo that goes along with the story, and I really thought it was the guy with
potato on his face. That's what I was hoping for too.
I was expecting. Oh, what a good Joey boy.
You've probably heard about Burrow. It's a new kind of furniture company known for timeless design, durable materials, and details that make life in your space easier. Last year, they brought their expertise outside with the launch of their outdoor line, and now they're adding more must-have pieces to the collection. Dunes offers seating, dining, and lounger options, while Scout is a new folding chair upholstered in a chic woven fabric. Made of durable materials made for all seasons, weather-resistant teak, stainless alloy, quick-dry, stain-resistant cushions, love that, with easy assembly and disassembly. They also just launched a new standing desk co-pilot with adjustable height, a durable scratch-resistant body with built-in storage to make working at home easier than ever. And of course, there's Burrow's legacy seating collections like the Nomad and Range, now available in new colors. So no matter what you choose, you always get free shipping on every order, which can run up to $100 for larger items, and that is a win. You know Emma and I love our Burrow, and now that they have outdoor furniture, I'm very excited to get my lounge on. We have this balcony, and I am always looking for something to make it comfy but also look chic, you know, because it's outside, everyone can see it, and I want to look stylish while I'm bird watching. I love Burrow. It's easy to assemble. It ships free. I can't recommend them highly enough. And that's why We Drink listeners can get 15% off their first order at burrow.com/drink. That's Burrow, burrow.com/drink for 15% off. burrow.com/drink. When you want the best, you have to act quickly, or someone else will get it instead. It's like when you're hiring for your business. You want to find the most talented people for your open roles before the competition scoops them up. So what's the best way to do that? ZipRecruiter. ZipRecruiter finds qualified candidates fast. And right now, you can try it for free at ziprecruiter.com/drink. ZipRecruiter's powerful matching technology takes center stage to identify top talent for your roles. Immediately after you post your job, ZipRecruiter's smart technology starts showing you qualified people for it. Amp up your hiring performance with ZipRecruiter and find the best fast. See why 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. Just go to this exclusive web address right now to try ZipRecruiter for free. ZipRecruiter.com/drink. Again, that's ZipRecruiter.com/drink. ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire.
Okay, time for story number 3.
Yep.
This is fun. This is called The Armed Tricyclist.
Oh my God. Okay.
Oh, this is from Jenna, who uses she/they pronouns. Thank you, Jenna. Jenna says, hey, y'all, I recently rediscovered the podcast after I started working as a dishwasher over the summer. I remember having listened to the first episode within a couple weeks of it coming out when I was in high school, but I guess I didn't have to do dishes/clean for 2 hours every day, so it only now came back into my life.
Oh, yay.
I think they're being nice to us, but I bet it was like they listened to the first episode and were like, I don't get it. And then like years later, we're like, years I later, guess I'll try they're like, this oh, again.
They sound a lot more established now. Like, maybe I'll give it a whirl.
Other people say they're like fine, so I guess I'll try it.
Yeah.
I've been wanting to send in a listener's episode for a while now. I've had a few run-ins with ghosties and some super fun true crime stories, but I never thought I had any stories juicy enough. That is, until I remembered this incident involving an armed tricyclist that happened less than a year ago, basically on my street. Now, technically, I was at college while this happened, so this is kind of my dad's story. Shout out to Gene.
Okay.
Hey, Gene.
Okay, Gene. What's hey, up?
Hey, Gene.
Big G.
Love Big G. So, Big Gene, Jenna's about to swear, so I just want to warn you.
Get ready.
I don't know what the fuck kind of theme this would fit into. I guess this one. But let's get into it. So flashback to November 2019. It's a normal Thursday morning / early afternoon, and it's a little before Thanksgiving break. I got a call from my parents, which is weird because they usually call later in the day. I answer it and they immediately start asking me if I knew anything about what was going on. I, being a stressed college student whose only thoughts were about organic chemistry and being gay, have no idea what they were talking about.
I can relate to 50% of that from college.
I love, except organic. What if it was just organic chemistry? You were like, I loved chemistry. That was the thing I related
just
to.
Just the best.
Okay. That's all I thought about. It's so hard to get M to listen to me because all they think about is organic chemistry.
All I do is like, it's just the worst. It's just, it's the cross I bear. You know?
Yeah, that scientific cross, the scientific brain you have is incredible.
That's me.
Have no idea what they're talking about. And they proceed to tell me that the high school and middle school were both put on lockdown. Both of those schools were on our street. And one of the ends of our road had been blocked off by a police barricade. My then dorm mate, whose father is a cop and then wrote ACAB, comes in and starts telling us what she knows from her dad about the situation. A local police officer tries to pull over a car for some minor traffic violation at the intersection of my street and a major route on the East Coast. The car then speeds through the intersection, hitting a random car that was minding its own business.
Oh my gosh.
The officers approach the crashed car and a man hops out of the back seat and fires at the officer multiple times.
Oh, I was going to make a Xenon joke at first of like just crashing into things.
She dropped her chai latte. Yeah.
Never mind. It got dark.
Yeah. The man then runs off into someone's backyard, steals a tricycle and takes off. Oh no.
Oh my gosh.
The officer wasn't injured, but they also weren't able to catch him, I guess because a massive manhunt begins in my town. I'm talking our entire police force, the other town's police force, state police, helicopters, and fucking SWAT team.
Oh my God.
The police put our schools on lockdown because they're literally about a mile from where he was last seen, and the town goes bonkers. My dad, being the dumb white man he is, don't talk about Gene that way.
Yeah, come on. Unless maybe you know him better than we do, and maybe you're right. But
yeah, I think that's probably none of my business to make that call. My dad, being the dumb white man he is, like horror movie white people kind of dumb, decides he wants to see what's going on. So he decides he needs to stop at the Wawa, but not the one we always go to. No, he needs to stop at the sketchy one just down the road from where this all happened that we never go to.
Okay, but like I would have asked Gene if that's I could ride with me. Him. I would have been like, okay, I call shotgun.
And would have been like, I got my tricycle. Let's go to the Wawa.
I'm too into the juicy drama to it. Like not, it's like. This is, it's kind of like in The Office when like the Grand Strangler is doing the car chase down their road and they cancel everything. They're like, I have to be part of history. That's how
it's
I
history.
Feel. That's how I feel.
Yeah, that's, Em and I would for sure be the people right in the middle of it, like inserting ourselves where we don't belong.
I mean, dumb white people, but yeah, exactly. You know what? Call me what you need to.
Yeah, I guess I'm not going to deny it. Okay, let's see. My dad drives around the blockade and heads to the Wawa, but the entire parking lot of the Wawa was filled with police. There are police helicopters overhead, SWAT and police dogs, the only cops that I trust, says Jenna. That's pretty good.
That was good, yeah.
My dad then parks at another business and then walks over and tries to see if they will let him into the Wawa for half and half.
Wait a minute. Okay. I love Gene. Hang on a second.
Gene's like, you don't understand.
I need to have something to drink while I watch history happen in front of my eyes.
And it's only half and half that I will drink. Nothing else. The officers, of course, do not. And my dad leaves without half and half, frowned face. But he did tell me all about the cute police dogs. For a while, that's all we know, and we assume that he's probably hiding out in the woods around our house. It would not be the first time criminals did so. However, as my roommate finds out hours later, he in fact tricycled his way to the Wawa my dad had stopped at, called an Uber, threatened the driver with his gun, and had them drive all the way to Union Station about an hour and a half away.
Oh my God.
Can you imagine having a gun to your head for an hour and a half? I mean, obviously not, but like, holy shit.
For an hour, that's an eternity.
I can barely imagine being in a car for an hour at this rate in quarantine.
Let alone a stranger like having you like armed, you know, or being armed and like telling you where to go.
Did you know that everyone in my household drove for Uber at some point? Blaze, me, and Alexander all drove for Uber at different times.
I forgot you drove for Uber.
Yeah, and I guess it was mostly fleeting? Lyft.
It was pretty the same fleeting. Thing,
anyway. It was when I lived in Glendale. Yeah.
I don't think I have ever really asked you enough questions about that, so we'll have to have a conversation.
It wasn't very interesting. Nobody held a gun to my head. Otherwise, you definitely would have heard about it.
Excellent. That's very good.
So I made it out alive. Okay. So for days, all we know is that he was at Union Station, which connects to several major train stations. So really, he could be anywhere. A few days later, we learned that the guy was arrested at Penn Station in New York City by U.S. Marshals. Fun fact, my brother and I had just been at Penn Station to go to a Hozier concert. How do you say that guy's name?
Hozier. I say Hozier, but I'm sure I'm not right.
I say that too, and then someone told me it was wrong, so I'm going to say a Hozier concert. Days before that, when the guy was arrested, we learned that he had had a warrant out for his arrest in Connecticut for kidnapping and attempted murder. Another fun fact, my brother lives in Connecticut, pretty close to where this dude was running from. So apparently this dude was on the run from police states away, driving with some buddy of his, and they just happened to pass through my town and mirror a lot of my family's movements. Hmm. I don't know what happened to him since, but I'm happy he's no longer tricycling around my house.
Oof, oh my gosh.
Oh, that got me. When this was all going down, it was really hard to keep the severity of the matter in mind because this was the photo of him circulating. Oh, is this the one that the photo is? Oh, wait, here. There's more on the back. Sorry. Okay. I'm going to leave a link for a news article in case you want more detail.
Oh, my God.
Feel free to use any of the pictures as you wish. Oh, my gosh. Okay, I'm going to show this on the...
Ugh. So this is a picture. Creepy.
Of the guy on the tricycle.
You know what's so... Okay, the thing that makes it, like, either more or less ridiculous, I haven't decided yet, is that it's an adult tricycle. I was thinking this whole time it was, like, a little tiny...
I did, too.
Like a clown tricycle.
Like a
child tricycle, but it's an adult three-wheeled bike.
So it's like a guy who wears Teva sandals. That's his bike. That's his tricycle that somebody stole kinda from him, jealous, which is not very nice.
Kind of jealous he has this bike.
But... Yeah, why do I want that? Okay. And then... Wait, hold on. Oh. Sorry, there's one more line here. Jenna says, P.S., I just wanted to say, this is very important for you to listen up. I just wanted to say that as a student studying biochemistry and microbiology, I do support lemon and the associated fruits as long as they are being stored in a dry area. Sorry, Em.
Don't worry. They're in a dry area at my closet.
Los Angeles is like the driest place they could be stored.
So I'm gonna put out a little request right now. To the people.
Eva's like, no.
No. This is specifically for people near the town that I went to college in. So I went to school in Newport News. I went to CNU. If you're from the area, you know exactly what I'm talking about. When I went there, and this story has to be from like 2013-ish, 2012-ish. If you're from the area and you were there around that time, you might know what I'm referring to when I say the bicycle gang. Mm-hmm. And I really need an update on where they are today because there was this group of kids. So CNU was on one of the main streets in town where like you could leave campus pretty quickly and get to like restaurants or Blockbuster back in the day, or like
the only two places you need to be,
or there was like a few restaurants nearby. And so me and a few of my friends, we would walk to restaurants pretty regularly, and there was this group of like little kids. Like we called them the bicycle gang because they were too young to drive cars. Like they literally were their own little like crew on bikes, but they were like we were nervous. Whenever we saw them, we would like turn around. Like they were literally like little children who would try to like harass you,
like little rapscallions.
Yeah, like, and I was convinced then, and I'm convinced now, that at least half of them are like currently incarcerated somewhere. Like they were terrible. They were scary. They were like 12 years old, and if like one of my friends saw the bicycle gang, you like wouldn't go to that area
for a while. My god,
they were like, they would come and sit next to you and like harass you while you're trying to eat your food in restaurants. They would like make scenes in public where like they, like if they were adults, the police would have been called on them. They would try
children to are so scary.
I heard from other people in like my friend circles, like they tried to get they tried to rob people and like were successful sometimes. Like they were little children criminals.
Oh my God.
And I was terrified of them. And I always wondered what happened to them. And they all rode their little bicycles up and down Warwick. If you know what I'm talking about.
What if they're all just like accountants and like,
I don't know. They were so scary. I felt so violated and uncomfortable around them.
I bet you if any of them do happen to ever hear this, they're going to be so proud. Like that's all we ever wanted was to terrorize some.
They did
student.
It. I mean, to a point where adults would text each other and be like, the bicycle gang's out. Like, don't go to this part of the street. And like, oh we God. Legitimately would not go out of fear. So if anyone has heard about these people and you know what we're talking about, please give me an update because I'm so curious about how their lives turned out.
Wow. Okay. Well, you heard it here first, folks.
Dogs seem to know everything about their owners, from their schedules to their scents to exactly what annoys us. Or is that just Geo? I don't know. So shouldn't humans know everything about their dogs? Well, Embark's dog DNA test allows you to do just that. Getting to know your dog's breed mix and genetic health risks with Embark means strengthening your bond with your furry friend. And Embark founded the world's first canine relative finder. I have actually found distant cousins of Geo's. Anyway, we'll get there. They even offer you the ability to connect directly with other Embark dog owners in their database. We'd like to thank EmbarkVet.com for supporting, and that's why we drink. And you can go to EmbarkVet.com to get free shipping and save $50 on the breed and health test with promo code DRINK. So Geo is quite a situation. All right, I got the Embark test done and he is American Pit Bull Terrier. He is Shih Tzu. He's Australian Cattle Dog, Dachshund Chow Chow, German Shepherd, and Labrador Retriever. He is, as by the way, Embark put it, which made me so happy, he is a super mutt. Isn't that nice? I was thrilled because I had done a test on him ages ago, but it was like pretty simple and like kind of just not very, very in-depth. This Embark test was amazing. It told us that he was part Dachshund, which made a lot of sense because he's kind of like hot dog shaped. Get the dog DNA test that is trusted by millions. Right now, Embark has a limited time offer on their breed and health test for our listeners. Go to EmbarkVet.com to get free shipping and save $50 with promo code DRINK. Visit EmbarkVet.com and use promo code DRINK to save $50 today. Did you know Fast Growing Trees is the biggest online nursery in the U.S. with more than 10,000 different kinds of plants and over 2 million happy customers in the U.S.? They have everything you could possibly want. They have fruit trees, palm trees, evergreens, houseplants, and so much more. Whatever you're interested in, they have it for you. Find the perfect fit for your climate and space. Fast Growing Trees makes it easy to order online and your plants are shipped directly to your door in 1 to 2 days. And along with their 30-day Alive and Thrive guarantee, they offer free plant consultation forever. That is so nice. So I received this beautiful lilac shrub and Leona and I planted it together and we did find a creepy like saint statue while we were digging up the yard. But that aside, it was really a wonderful experience. The funniest part is my neighbor, Anne, hi Anne, walked past me the other day and said, oh, I saw your lilac bush that you mentioned on the podcast. And I thought, wow, advertising really works, folks. I talked about that lilac shrub. She saw it in my yard. And I said, Leona and I worked very hard to plant that. And I also found a creepy saint while I dug it up. But anyway, the point being, it looks professional. It looks like a landscaper put it there and a toddler and I actually put it there. So I feel like we've fooled everyone. This spring, they have the best deals online, up to half off on select plants and other deals. And listeners to our show get an additional 15% off their first purchase when using the code DRINK at checkout. That's an additional 15% off at fastgrowingtrees.com using the code DRINK at checkout. Fastgrowingtrees.com, code DRINK. Offer is valid for a limited time. Terms and conditions may apply.
Anyway, speaking of children in their own little squads, I just found out recently my grandma, when she was 10, she was in a gang.
What?
Yeah.
Oh my.
I need to get more information before I tell you the whole story, but apparently she like was like, I don't know. It sounded violent. So I'll ask about it at another time. Okay. Anyway, story number four. Moving on. This one is called The One Time My Dad Found a 60-year-old ransom note hidden underneath the floorboards. Fuck yes. Okay.
This is my jam. Let's go.
This is from, oh my gosh, this is from a sand monster. This is from Rachel.
Oh, hi.
Who refers to themselves as Sand Monster Rachel. Sand Monster Aww. Rachel. If you don't know what that is, that's what I lovingly named the people who listen to Beachy Sandy.
I also don't think I ever told Alexander that, so he's probably like, why does everyone say this to me?
It makes me so happy. I really, I think it's such a great name.
Okay. I like it.
So anyway, this is from a sand monster. And Rachel says, well, hi, it's me, Rachel, again. So I guess Rachel's written in before.
Oh, hi, Rachel.
Or Sand Monster, as you graciously nicknamed me. Oh, so this is the OG Sand Monster. Okay.
You're the reason we called. Okay, I get it.
I had just begun your podcast when I sent in my last story, so I apologize for not sending my pronouns, she, her, but honestly, I think I prefer Sand Monster. Well, I do too.
Oh, that's right. We said, oh, she didn't add her pronouns, so we're going to call her Sand Monster. That's how this all began.
Yeah. Listen, you don't give me your pronouns. I'm going to give you a name that you'll have to live by. So my life has been surrounded with true crime, creepy experiences, too many to share all at once. This one is from my dad when he was in his 20s. My parents had just gotten married and moved into their first house. It was an old house, maybe 100 years old at the time. Wow. So there were some creaky floorboards, cracked walls, peeling paint, and so on. My dad, being the handyman he is, immediately began renovations. He was rummaging around his closet floorboards trying to remove them. He started feeling around underneath and he found a piece of paper. He unfolded it and I kid you not, my dad found a ransom note. Excuse me, I just burped out of fear. A ransom note. He found a ransom note stating that $200,000 had to be dropped off at a certain time or else someone's son was going to die.
What?
Which oh it, my God. Immediately once I, if I were to see that and I'm holding it, I would be like, okay, so someone died in this house. Like, because the ransom note did not get delivered, or maybe this is the house it got delivered to, in which case someone who used to live here got abducted and maybe died.
Yeah. And also if somebody hid it under the floorboards, maybe they were like, well, I don't have 200 grand, so I'm going to hide this so no one accuses me of their death or something. I don't want anyone to know that I had the
exactly
the intel.
Immediately, my dad reported it. A few days later, an FBI agent arrived a few days later, by the way.
Whoa.
An FBI agent arrived at my dad's door to inform him he'd found a ransom note draft. If you're from Washington State, which my family is, you've heard the name. Okay. Fuck you guys.
What? I can't. What is it? What is it?
Weyerhaeuser? Weyerhaeuser? Okay. Well, that's if you're from Washington State. If you're from California like me, you don't know what that is. What you may not know is that the chairman of this company inherited it from his dad and was once kidnapped and held for ransom in May of 1935.
Yeah, I remember Weyerhaeuser. I did this story at the Seattle live show.
Oh, I don't remember that. I'm sorry.
I know. No, I know. But I was like, this name sounds familiar. It was like a logging, like a timber and logging company.
Huh.
And the guy was kidnapped. Yeah. So anyway.
Okay. So sorry. I think so the Sand Monster's dad found his ransom
note.
That's
so crazy. And she probably doesn't even, I mean, she probably has no clue that I obviously covered it at the show in Seattle.
That's a full circle right there.
That is.
One of your Beach to Sandy listeners and That's Why We Drink listeners helped you finish that story.
Wow. I wonder, I'm curious if we have that. I'm sure we have it somewhere, or I probably have the notes if we never posted it. Maybe I'll cover it at some point.
Maybe. And then we can, we should star this and then we can,
yes.
Sorry, I almost showed the email. But we can, yeah, star this and then add it to the notes. Okay. Anyway, he was returned after the ransom was paid, and a little over a month later, the kidnapper named Harmon Metz Whaley was caught. What my parents didn't know was that Harmon Metz Whaley had at some point lived in that house that they were now living in.
That's crazy.
So 60 years after the kidnapping of George Weyerhaeuser, my dad found the ransom note in his floorboards that apparently was never mailed. I swear bad luck follows my family around, and I have so many more stories to share with you both. Thank you for taking the time to listen, and I can't wait to see where your podcast goes. Love, Sand Monster. Wow. Rachel.
Sand Monster Rachel. I can't imagine living a life where, you end up with the FBI on your doorstep just because you were renovating. You know what
right?
I mean? Like,
yeah.
Just oh, not again. The FBI.
One of my friends in college was at a frat house. At a party, and people were drunk, and one guy fell into the wall and ended up, I think I probably have mentioned this on the show, but it's such a cool story to me. He fell through the wall, and then the one spot that he fell, which makes me feel like it's divine in some way, that of all the parts of the house you could have fallen into, he fell into the one part where someone had hidden a bottle in the wall with it was clearly people who used to be brothers of this fraternity decades ago. And so they, I'm assuming, had a party then and broke a hole into the wall and decided they were going to put pictures of themselves and notes and stuff in this bottle and leave it fingers crossed that some other drunk frat guy would one day break into that same part of the wall, which is exactly what happened. And so they ended up taking pictures of all of it, then putting it back in the bottle, putting it back in the wall, and then they put their own bottle next to it for future drunk people.
Well, so, you know, I bet the reason that it was that spot specifically is probably because it probably wasn't covered up as well. So like
probably even
just slight pressure like broke it without having to like smash through it.
Probably either.
Because, you know, they probably bounced off all the way. I feel like drunk people bounce off walls all over the place.
Yeah, left and right.
They were bound to like ping pong into that specific spot eventually.
Anyway.
That's the coolest thing. I mean, that's really fucking
cool. If you're at a frat party, there's probably a few bottles of old pictures in there.
Yeah, you should punch holes in every wall just to find out.
Kyle. No.
Kyle, be careful.
Okay, anyway.
Someone's going to have to pay for that. Okay, here we go. This is a story from Kira, who uses she, her pronouns. Thank you, Kira. This is called Ghost Pups and Murder, parentheses, not connected. Thankfully.
Thank you
for clarifying that for me. Whew. Okay. Kira says, hi, I'm Christine Eva, Geo Juni Lemon, and the list goes on. Oh, yeah, now in Moonipur, or whatever we call it.
Moonipur, and what does your sister say?
Juneshine and Moonipur.
Precious.
I've got one of each, paranormal and true crime, so let's crack into it. I'll start with the fun one. When I was young and finally got my own room, I have a twin brother. I have other fun twin stories for another time. Have I ever requested twin stories? I have, but I want more twin stories.
We should do a reboot on that because I think we requested twins a long time ago.
We did. I would love to have more twin stories. I would sometimes feel a breeze on my face while I was trying to sleep. As a young kid, I justified this as maybe being my stuffed Pooh Bear who I slept with every night. I also had a stuffed Pooh Bear that I slept with every night, and I lost him, and it still traumatizes
really?
Me.
Really?
Yeah.
Interesting.
I miss him so much. Okay. Maybe being my stuffed Pooh Bear who I slept with every night who might be breathing, because kids can assign anything unsettling to something comforting.
Uh-huh.
As I got older and knowing, unfortunately, that my stuffed animals were not alive, it got to be concerning that I was feeling cool breezes on me even when my windows were closed and my fan was off. Whenever these breezes, more like breathing, started happening, I would hide under my covers until I could finally fall asleep. It wasn't until I went away to college and these breezes followed me that I started thinking that it might be paranormal. Yeah, it took long enough. When I came home for Thanksgiving, I finally talked to my mom about it. My mom is very sensitive to paranormal activity, and her grandma, who was a witch, told her that she had the gift, which conveniently skips a generation. As soon as I told her, my mom said, oh, Mr. Turner, who lived here, my childhood home, used to have your bedroom and he adored his poodles. That took a turn. I'm sorry.
Didn't see it coming, but okay. Sure.
But I love where we've ended up.
Yeah.
He adored his poodles, so it's probably his dogs checking in on you. That, or it's Mr. Turner deeply upset that someone is sleeping in his room. So I chose to believe that it's some nice pups checking in on me when I'm going to sleep rather than a dead old man, but I guess we'll never know. Now that I've moved out of my parents' home officially, I haven't experienced anything like it in my new place, but it still happens whenever I visit home. Now for the not so fun one, true crime. I know, such a bummer. True crime's always the less fun.
Now that I've warmed you up, time to really come crashing down.
My family's a little messy in a lot of ways, but messiest of all is my little cousin's bio mom, who is now a murderer. Oh, dear.
Oh, my God.
She has a lot of other issues beyond what I'll add here, but to get to the point, while celebrating someone's birthday, she apparently got in a fight with her boyfriend or her boyfriend's sister, which resulted in her attacking her boyfriend with a bar stool. He was dead upon arrival of the paramedics, which resulted in the conclusion that the cause of death was by suffocation.
Okay.
Whoa.
I was expecting the bar stool to be the culprit.
Blunt force trauma.
I know. It's
usually where we'd be by now.
Yeah.
My family's theories are that either she punctured his... Oh, God. Okay. That she either punctured his lung with the bar stool. Okay. Oh, this is bad. Why? Eva, I hate you. Or that she broke his neck at the C4. Okay. Okay. I'm just going to get through it. Which prevented him from breathing. Either way, she is still pleading not guilty at her trial, regardless of the witnesses at this party who say she undoubtedly did this. So I suppose I will have to respond with an update post-trial. Hopefully this can be selected for a read. If not, I still adore you all, and I'm glad that someone else could enjoy the story. I love y'all and will gladly drink a glass of wine in a toast to this podcast. Lots of love, Kira.
Oh.
No wonder Eva's like, why don't you read this one, Christine? It's about spines and vertebrae.
Well, thanks. Also, so sorry about your your cousin's mom's boyfriend's sister or something.
Yikes, that's really messy.
Yeah,
when I'm you like, said, my family's messy too. Okay, maybe not that messy.
When you said my family's messy, I was like, join the club. And then you kept going and I went, oh, never mind.
We should have known better, but.
Who am I? Anyway, thank you for that. And here's our final story, I think, right?
Ooh, you get to do the finale this time.
Yes, yes, I do, I do. Sorry, for a second I thought there was a bonus, but no, no, no. I'm the bonus.
I know.
The bonus is I get to read it.
The bonus was you all along.
It always was. So, this is called, oh, wow, you're going to fucking love this. Okay.
Oh, good.
Slipped into a parallel dimension during the blue moon.
Ooh, there was in Halloween, on Halloween? Okay.
Okay. Ready. I don't know, maybe. This is from Teresa, who goes by she, her. Thank you for normalizing pronouns, Teresa. And it says, hey, Eva. Yes, always use Eva first at this point.
Always.
Eva, M, Christine, and Co. I love it. Okay. Cracking right into it. This year on Halloween, it was a blue moon and things definitely got weird. My girlfriend and I were finishing up the last few episodes of Haunting of Bly Manor. We took a break before the last episode to eat dinner and put on one of the seasons of RuPaul's Drag Race. This is just the queerest story I've ever heard. I love it.
Yeah, it was a good palate cleanser, though. Yeah,
I see she, her, my girlfriend, RuPaul. I'm like, oh my God, so excited.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Okay, so they're watching RuPaul. My girlfriend took the dishes to the kitchen when we were done and I was still on the couch. She came over, kissed me on the forehead, and said she was going to go to the grocery store to get some Halloween candy before we watched the last episode of Bly Manor. She leaves. I don't know exactly how long it was after she left, but at some point I looked up and saw her walking into the bathroom. And she's not there.
Oh no.
She left.
For a second, I pictured it as she was on the toilet and saw her walking into the bathroom. And I was like, does anybody knock anymore? Okay, now I get it. She was walking.
She was gone. Like, she went to the grocery store. And then a couple minutes later, Teresa sees her girlfriend walking into the bathroom.
No, no, no. That's no good. That's no good.
Oh my God. The worst sentence. We made eye contact.
Why is that so scary?
I hate that. I have instant goose camp. I continue watching RuPaul, and then after a few minutes thought it was weird she hadn't come out of the bathroom. I called out to her asking her what she was doing, and no reply. I didn't think much about it, but then as more minutes passed and she didn't appear, I called out asking if she was okay. Still no response. I got up and walked to the bathroom, and she wasn't there. She wasn't in her room or anywhere else in her small house. I started to panic a little because how the hell does someone disappear into thin air? As I'm starting to walk more frantically through the house, I hear a car door shut and realize I didn't look to see if her car was in the driveway. But also, how the hell did she leave the house without me knowing? She comes in with grocery bags, and then everything in my brain clicks together. I remember her telling me she was going to the store, and I remember her leaving the house. My face clearly showed my confusion because she asked me what was wrong. I told her I had seen her go into the bathroom and then never come back out. Then I searched her house and had absolutely no recollection of her going to the store until I heard the car door. So it's almost
weird. It's
almost like it put some sort of veil on her so she wouldn't freak out.
It's like, or like it's like her own understanding went with her to the other dimension where it's like that one doesn't even exist in her brain anymore.
Right, right.
Oh, that's creepy.
She asked me if I was high, and I definitely wasn't. I asked her how long she was gone. She said 20 minutes, but the whole thing felt like an hour had gone by at least.
Holy shit.
This whole thing shook me. I started to try and rationalize what happened in my head. I have a seizure disorder where I have seizures that can manifest as a blackout, so I lose a short period of time, but only 15 seconds. I haven't had a seizure in years, but also I know I didn't have one because I didn't miss a beat of RuPaul. I can't explain the complete absence of memory of her going to the store or how I saw her walk into the bathroom when she had clearly already been gone, or how the sound of her car door brought me back to the present. But a part of me feels like maybe for a brief moment I slipped into a parallel dimension. It was too real to not be. But to me, I totally forgot this was going to be about parallel dimensions because I thought of it as a ghost and you're seeing a doppelganger.
Yeah, I thought doppelganger too.
Yeah, that's what I thought.
Then I think your theory of like a veil or something makes a lot of sense of like
I think that's
whatever it was took that memory out of your head.
I think that's the route I usually go, because in the times where I have seen something, it really puts like this wave of calm on me, so I can't freak out. So it feels like there was this doppelganger who like wanted you to see them, but also didn't want you to freak out until like later on.
The fact that you made eye contact gives me
That's the worst.
It's no good.
Hope my story brings some chills, because holy fuck, I'm still shook. Love the podcast. Love following your tangents. Can totally relate. Also, congrats, Christine, on finally getting verified.
Oh, thank you.
And that's the last sentence of this episode, apparently.
Don't worry. We'll find other sentences to throw in there before the episode is fully over. Wow. Well, thank you. That was terrifying. And whether it's a doppelganger or a parallel universe,
either way, it wasn't
equally scary.
It wasn't great for you.
Yeah, it wasn't great and wasn't something I wanted to participate in.
Right. The eye contact especially. Whether I'm in this world or not, I hate it. So
yeah.
Yikes. Thank you guys for all of your wonderful stories. Thank you, Eva, for reading them.
Oh, I have another request.
Oh.
Can we, what about full moon stories? I don't think we've ever done a full moon
story. Oh, that'd be fun. Yeah.
I feel like that's kind of creepy. We're going to December. Days are getting darker and shorter.
I'm down.
A creepy full moon episode.
Okay.
Yay.
There you go. And thank you for everyone who submitted your stories. If you would like to submit your own story to be in the running for the next episode that comes out on the first of every month, you can go to andthatswhyyoudrink.com and we have a submission box there for you.
Yeah. Well, thanks everybody. And we will see you in a much shorter time than usual, in like 2 weeks.
Okay. Well, thank you. And
that's
why
we
drink.
Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Mornings are for mixing and matching at McDonald's. For just $3, mix and match two of your favorite breakfast items, including a sausage McMuffin, sausage biscuit, sausage burrito, and hash browns. Make it even better with a delicious medium iced coffee. With McDonald's mix and match, you can't go wrong. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Single item at regular price.